Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ over there. The new spot over there on Substack. And if you're a Nebraska fan tuning in and you are not already subscribed to The Counter Read on Substack with one of the best Nebraska Cornhuskers writers in general, because I could say football. I like the football. That's where Brandon and I first came into focus here. But, you know, there's basketball in there. There's maybe baseball sometimes. Maybe we'll see where Nebraska goes, because Tennessee recruits in the Midwest. There's some good talent coming out of the Midwest. So who knows in the Nebraska baseball front. But Brandon, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back on. It's good to join you again. Yeah, the Nebraska basketball kind of not the most storied history in terms of men's basketball at the University of Nebraska, but we had a reason to write about them a little bit more often, or at least write about them in terms of tournament potential this year. So that was nice. And Nebraska just started spring football this week, but we got some baseball coming down the pike at Counter Read as well.
There you go. Well, Brandon, we're going to talk some football, but before we get into that, Nebraska's been in the news for a lot of different reasons. I mean, Fred Hoiberg has put together, and I think we should start with the basketball team, and it's just fun, a fun team all season long. And my question to you, were you surprised? And if so, how surprised were you with Nebraska Cornhuskers tournament run here?
I was surprised with their 2023-2024 season in general. They kind of flashed it towards the end of Nebraska's second round loss to A&M in the NCAA tournament, but this is a team that was picked 12th in the Big Ten to start the season, ended up getting the 3 seed in the conference tournament. It was, you take the tournament as a whole, or the season as a whole, it was a team that I think Hoiberg maximized what it was capable of. And it was a team that was pretty skilled basketball wise, which I think Hoiberg teams are always going to lean that way. That said, once they made the tournament, as Nebraska remains the only power conference school not to have won an NCAA tournament game, the draw against A&M, I thought was a difficult one. I'm sure a lot of your listeners and viewers are probably knew Texas A&M better than I did going into that game. Just seeing them
kick
the SEC
Tennessee's
more
tail in College Station, and then
Tennessee
one of the worst losses of the year.
Yeah, and then Tennessee got them back, but just looking at the numbers and the couple of times I caught them on TV, they're just super big and athletic, and it was a team that really dominated the offensive glass in the way that teams don't do all that often from a statistical standpoint. So I knew it was going to be kind of a tough one for Nebraska. And then, you know, they were one of the worst shooting teams in the country, and they came out and shot really, really well. So what are you going to do if you're Fred Hoiberg? But
well, and that's the funny thing is, like, Fred Hoiberg, like, what we're seeing across college basketball, I think right now with Juwan Howard being the latest NBA to college head coach, not going the right way. Like, Penny Hardaway is really struggling. Like, they looked like they were maybe going to break through this year, and then the season really, really cratered towards the end of the year. And then they just are not a tournament team after all. And you look around hoops, and it's just, it seems like, I mean, we'll see with Damon Stoudemire at Georgia Tech what that looks like, but he has some college experience. He was the head coach at Pacific, so it's a little bit different for him. But there aren't a lot of success stories about NBA guys who go to the college ranks and just expect to make it all work and to be really good. And Hoiberg, early on, we were like, okay, this, it was exciting at the time, but it doesn't look like he's going to be able to get this off the ground and is going to be able to flip this. And then this year and last year, I think too, to an extent, he's kind of flipped the narrative. So what has Hoiberg done to be able to really get out of the muck and turn this team, Nebraska, like what you talked about, it, a hard job. It's always been a hard job, but getting it over the hump and being a fun NCAA tournament team now.
Yeah. I mean, so Hoiberg during his time at Iowa State was sort of known for really hitting with transfers in a pre-transfer portal era. So he had to wait a year. Now, obviously, you don't. And Nebraska has brought in a fleet of transfers, I think, most years that Hoiberg's been in Lincoln. And just these last 2 years, because, you know, three seasons ago, like, it was really as you got towards the end of the year, with like, is this Fred's last season in Lincoln? Because they just hadn't really gained much momentum. This, with these past two teams, really, they hit on some, I think he found the guys he needed in the portal. Keisei Tominaga was like, a guy who could score a bunch in a hurry, electric 3-point shooter. But it was more guys this past year. They had Rink Mast, who was their essentially their five, but he's from the Netherlands, very much kind of a European style big, which didn't help against a team like A&M. And Jawan Gary, a player who transferred from Alabama, but was just like a D and rebound guy. So I think it was really, he hit on not just the right players for how he wants to play, but he's prior to that just kind of felt like collections of talent. So I think that's been the big difference. And Nebraska, you know, they're going to lose Tominaga. But they return a good amount for next year. So can they build on it? That'll kind of be the key question for Hoiberg going forward.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens ultimately. But I think it's just, you would know better than I, but optimistic, right? Like, this is now a stable, healthy program, right?
Yeah, I believe it is. Hoiberg got an extension at the end of this season. So questions about his future are on hold for now, unless he were to choose to go someplace else. Nebraska just introduced a new AD this week as well. So you'd think that helps a little bit with even trying to make any big bold decisions in terms of coaching. If you're a new AD, I think you hope not to have to do that, though sometimes you do, of course.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the new AD. So I watched Troy Dannon's opening presser here. Obviously NIL is a big part of it. He talked about that and being working with the collective and this, that, and the other, and just what it means, because I mean, this has been a whirlwind week. I mean, we're not going to get into the Washington situation, but goodness gracious, Washington State fans. I mean, what did they do to deserve this lot in life? Because it just, when you think it can't get worse for the Cougs right now, it just continues to get worse for them. But Trev Alberts, like, kind of because there was a lot of movement, Ross Bjork obviously going to Ohio State, which was kind of a stunner, which feels like forever ago. We talked about Pat Chun now moving over to Washington. There's been other AD movement this offseason. We'll see if there's more. It's still mid-March, so we'll see if there's any big moves left to be made on that front. But it was kind of a stunner from the outside of Lincoln and us college football lovers and analysts. It's just like, oh, that's weird. Trevor, he's a Nebraska guy. Like, I understand, like, A&M's a big job, but A&M's a tough job. It's not like the most stable position, and it's not one where it's like you could see yourself retiring there, and the pressure is different to win big. And that's not a slight at Nebraska. I think it's just the realities of being an AD in an SEC school, and walking into the situation that Albers is walking into. Did you have any inkling that could be something that he might entertain in the last couple of years?
I did not. You know, you started to hear rumblings like a couple of days before that move became public that, hey, maybe there's something that's going on here. But I mean, at Counter Reed, we had a monthly sit down with Alberts on the schedule. And you know, he was that kind of AD. He showed up at his initial press conference and says, hey, if you have questions, ask him. He's like, I'm here to be open. And he was. And kind of got no indication whatsoever that, you know, a move might be forthcoming. And when you look at it, you know, I understand, like, you can always break these things down a number of ways, but I think pretty objectively, well, you would be a good test case of this, you know, as someone who's not in maybe immediately in the Nebraska or A&M circles, like,
yeah,
it doesn't seem like a massive, like, jump forward. A&M's been better, particularly in football, over the past decade or so. But overall, it kind of felt like a little bit of a lateral move. And then you had the statements from Alberts about unity of leadership. I've spent more time over the past week and a half talking about alignment and university leadership and all that stuff that I want to as a sports writer. But it's where everything was kind of pointing to. And the big question after Alberts left, at least in Nebraska circles, was, well, why? You know, and not to mention, you know, not only is he a former Husker, but a Butkus Award winner at Nebraska, like a really good Husker. His name's on stadium. His number's retired. So all those things kind of added up to it. Nebraska doesn't have a president. It just announced its preferred candidate, but it hasn't had a president for 6 months, which complicated things. Its former president, Ted Carter, incidentally, went to Ohio State. So I know he didn't singularly hire Ross Bjork, which then led to Alberts going to A&M, but he was certainly in those discussions. So that gets interesting as well. But I thought Nebraska was going to be without an AD for a while, and wasn't even a week before they hired Troy Dannon from Washington. The interim president essentially led that search. So it's been a quite a couple of weeks for big change and big questions in terms of leadership of the university overall.
So in your estimation, do you think it was wise to just jump the gun and just hire Troy Dannon now? Or do you think you should have waited until there was that alignment for a president to come on and not have the interim make this kind of hire?
It's an interesting question, and I've kind of gone back and forth on it a little bit. You mentioned you watched Dannon's introductory press conference. Like, it was clear that he had a talking point to talk about that alignment because he spent a good amount of time on it, or at least that was my read on it. And it is a bit strange to have an interim president make that hire, and for that hire to basically take less than a week. It was Trev Alberts announced he was leaving on a Wednesday. The following Wednesday, Nebraska had his new AD. That said, Dannon's resume, you know, more than merits a job like Nebraska. I mean, he was just at Washington only for 6 months, but it feels a little quick. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's too early to say if the hire was too quick now, but like, I look at it and I look at the scenarios and I'm like, in 4 years, like it's not going to shock me if, you know, maybe things aren't going the right way. Maybe they are. And then you don't worry about it.
Or he's not even there.
They aren't. Yeah, people are going to bring up that, well, maybe it should have taken longer than a week to make such a big hire. And one of the big things with Nebraska since joining the Big Ten, he's now their sixth AD. And like, there's
since
nobody
going
else.
To Big Ten?
Since going to the Big Ten in 2011. Yeah.
Wow. Wait, how long was Albers there then? I thought he'd been there for a minute.
2021.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. I thought it was longer than that. I would have said 18, 19. Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it's people, you know, the unsolvable riddle for Nebraska fans has been like, well, why can't the football program kind of get back to, like, not even national titles. I don't think anybody's like realistically talking about that right now, but just like get back to being a top 25 program consistently.
Yeah.
And when you change coaches all the time, it makes that difficult, but you change all the ADs all the time too. The only school that's close to Nebraska in the Big Ten, including the new members, is USC, which if you go back and look at what USC has had happen at AD, it's not really the company you want to keep if you're trying to portray a healthy athletic department overall. But we'll see. I mean, I think that'll be one of the defining characteristics of Dannon, is like, is he here more than four or five seasons?
It is funny because like when he first got hired at Washington and he hires Jed Fish, I was like, oh, this makes sense. It's like one of those alignment things where I don't think either of these guys are going to be here for, they're just, when you look at their career history and you look at, they bounced around a lot. And it's not like a slight at either of them. They're both good at their jobs. But if you're a UW fan, you look at both and you're like, just keep this thing humming. We were just in the national title. We'll see. He doesn't make a basketball hire. I think before he leaves, and that, like, it's just weird because these little things that get lost in the crevices, you're like, and then we'll talk about a couple years later, like, man, that didn't work. Why didn't that work? It's like, well, because there were some steps skipping here. There was some weirdness here, and the alignment. I mean, you and I know this. I mean, working in sports and covering big time programs like Nebraska and Tennessee, alignment is such, like, it's hard to explain to fans just how important alignment across the board truly is, because right now, like, Tennessee, we talk about everything school and they branded it that way, and I mean, they're really good. This is the healthiest the Tennessee athletic department I think's ever been across the board, and a lot of it's unity. Like, you have Don DePlowman, who's been an exceptional chancellor. You have Danny White, who is in full alignment with what Tennessee's big time coaches want to be on the NIL front, and just with winning all across the board. But that's rare in a lot of college campuses. Like, it's hard to get that alignment from president to AD to all of the big time revenue generating sports and to all be on the same page. And right now, I think that's a big part of why Tennessee is rolling across the board, is that they're so strong in that alignment. And it's been consistent. So Danny White's been there for a while. Dondi's been there for a while. You have Barnes, who's been there for a while. Vitello has now been there for a while. Like, you and Heupel now entering year four. Like, there's just a lot of stability across the board. And I just think it's an under talked about part of this, is like, you kind of need luck there, though. You need people to be happy and want to stay and to hire the right people. But it's a roll of the dice that you have this right collection of folks and all be on the same page for a sustainable amount of time, because that's what it takes, I think, to build sustainable winners across the board.
No, that's very well put. And I mean, and part of what made the Alberts move so shocking is I thought that's where Nebraska was headed with him finally. And it seems like maybe, you know, I mean, he just signed an extension in November, at the end of November. And within, you know, the 2 to 3 months after that, something certainly changed. Or maybe it was just like he saw an opportunity at A&M and said, I think this is better, by his own internal calculus. But I mean,
I guess maybe if you're, because he's a football guy, it's like, I can maybe win a title as the.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
AD at A&M, and I can't win it at Nebraska, maybe? I mean, depends on how much he cares about stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, in his statements that have come out, you know, he mentioned the leadership. So A&M went through a president change last year. So it just kind of felt to me like they were a little, and Nebraska was still trying to settle on its next president. So it felt like maybe there was a bridge A&M had already crossed that maybe Nebraska hadn't yet. And
yeah,
Albers may have decided I'd rather be already be on the other side of the bridge. Who knows? Mm. You know, it's strange on the alignment topic. You know, Matt Rhule, been here for a season and a half, essentially. At his introductory press conference, he specifically like mentioned the president at the time and Trev Alberts as being instrumental in getting him to Nebraska, because I think he really planned to sit out a year after getting fired at Carolina. And before the start of his second season, that president and AD are both gone. So interesting times for Matt Rhule.
Well, speaking of Matt Rhule, like as we pivot here to football, I mean, what were your year one impressions from Matt? I mean, he hired well, I think, on the defensive side. I still have some questions about the offensive side. And that was something we talked about before the year. I mean, the Jeff Sims experiment obviously did not go the way that Nebraska fans and Nebraska had hoped. But it was also the Satterfield question of like, we'll see. I mean, I watched that South Carolina offense 2 years ago, and that was rough. That was not a pleasant experience for Spencer Rattler and company. I mean, now when you look at year one of Matt Rhule, what are your strongest first impressions about what he did?
Well, to your point, he nailed his defensive coordinator hire.
Yep.
And in terms of looking at Nebraska for 2024, retaining Tony White, who came to Nebraska from Syracuse and had overtures from USC, I think, then UCLA, his alma mater. And then when UCLA needed a head coach, I think he was back in those discussions. And Nebraska held on to him. So that's a big piece of it. You look at Matt Rhule's time in college football, and he said this at one of his press conferences, you know, during January, February, like, we're always going to have a good defense. And he has, like, through a couple of different defensive coordinators, whether at Temple, Baylor, like that's where he builds from. It's defense first. And Nebraska on that side of the ball returns a lot of production. So they should be pretty solid there. Offensively, they were a pretty big mess. You played three different quarterbacks. You mentioned Jeff Sims. They turned the ball over a ton, which to the Satterfield side of things, that was true for him at South Carolina as well. They were pretty high turnover. Nebraska in its spring game, which he always, it's like, what do you do with a spring game? Fumbled 9 times. And it was like, yeah, it's a spring game. But then then you get into the season and Nebraska has one of the worst turnover margins in the country. And there you go. The mantra this offseason, and I do put some stock in this, is I think, you know, Nebraska lost 5 games by a field goal or an overtime. Yeah. So they were kind of that classic team that was close. This 2024 year is going to be really big. They brought in a QB's coach who also
Glenn Thomas, right?
Yep, Glenn Thomas also has a co who's worked with Rhule previously, and has been a co-offensive coordinator with Satterfield before. We'll see if that makes a difference. Really,
who calls plays between the two of them? Has it already been outlined or no?
It has. It'll be Satterfield.
Okay.
But so Satterfield started the season last year on the sidelines, which isn't his preference, but he did it so he could deal with the quarterbacks. Eventually he moved up top to the press box so he could call plays from up there. That's what he'll do this year. And it allows Thomas to kind of have that direct hand with quarterback play, which becomes super important because Nebraska's two leading candidates to take that job are true freshmen. And,
yep.
And one of those candidates, Dylan Raiola, the 5-star late flip from Georgia, is probably 1A in that group.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So, it's happening. So you right now it is March 27th, Brandon. Do you think Nebraska opens with a true freshman as QB1 and Dylan Raiola for the Huskers this year?
I think so. So it got interesting in January because Kyle McCord, Ohio State starter in 2023, was taking a visit to Nebraska at about the same time that reports started to emerge that maybe Dylan Raiola was going to flip from Georgia to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. He did, of course. And according to Matt Rhule, Kyle McCord came in for his visit. Would have given you, he wasn't the starter that Ohio State's been used to recently, yeah. but who is when you look at who's played quarterback over there for the past seven years?
It's tough,
years.
Man. It's tough. The offensive line also wasn't good. That's like the one thing about Ohio State last year is like that offensive line was terrible. So I don't know what Kyle McCord is, but I do know that that offense was there. It was a whole lot more wrong with that offense than just Kyle McCord.
Yeah, I mean, there was this brief window where it looked like Nebraska was the leader for McCord. So that gives you a guy who's started a season in the Big Ten. And, you know, you can bring Raiola along as you bring him along.
But is he okay with sitting for 2 years, potentially?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You get into to an Arch Manning situation there in terms of potential complications. Rhule said that McCord left without an offer. Like they kind of consciously decided to we're going to go young with Dylan Raiola. Daniel Kalen, a very talented in-state player. He was an Elite 11 quarterback too. Faltered a little bit, but ended up sticking with his Nebraska commitment. So they've got two true freshmen that are enrolled and taking part in spring practice. But unless Nebraska decides to look around in the post-spring transfer portal, the April transfer portal, I think that's where they're going. They're going a true freshman quarterback, which for a team that returning production overall, like, is top five in the country. They've got a schedule that sets up pretty well with four of their first five games at home. It's kind of a big gamble, even if you think a Dylan Raiola is a super talented player, which I do. It's kind of the biggest unknown, I think, that I'm hoping to learn some about this spring as Nebraska goes through practice.
Yeah, and I think it's you and I, I would say probably know this more than like what fans miss is that like when I'm sure that you saw with fans who were upset at the time about like, hey, why are we going into the year with two true freshman quarterbacks? That's unacceptable at Nebraska. This is not okay. Tennessee fans have had this same issue where Nico, who I'm very excited about, but he's a true sophomore. He's getting handed the keys here. Their backup this year, I don't know if you know, it's four-star Jake Merklinger from Savannah. True freshman is going to be the backup right there. And you have a walk-on Aston Moore who, I mean, he's been in the program. He's been with Heupel from UCF to Tennessee, but I have my doubts that he'll be QB2 if things get that dicey here in Tennessee. Hopefully no injury stuff with Nico, but it's hard. Like the pitch is hard in today's climate because you can go start anywhere and you want to be able to compete and you're blocked. So if you're a quarterback here and you're like, if you're even a solid, like an average to above, slightly above average quarterback in the portal, you're looking at Nebraska with Raiola and the true freshman that you're all the other true freshman. Is he a four star? Was he a four star?
Yeah, Danny Kalen. Danny Kalen. Four star elite.
Like you're looking at that and you're like, I'm not going to get a real shot at winning that job or being QB1, and I'm not making that jump. So I think. I, from the outside looking in, when you see stuff like that, I'm like, oh, it's because they know what's going on and they don't want to deal with it. And I understand that part of it. It's like, I'm not going to get a real chance to play. And if that's part of it, then why would a veteran quarterback who's trying to get that starting spot and to maximize this limited time to compete and try to get to that next level? Why am I going to Nebraska right now when they have the number one quarterback in the class? Like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback depth, like it's hard in a transfer portal era across the board, but I think quarterback depth is particularly hard. And, you know, even if Nebraska say they go through spring practices and decide, maybe we better hedge and look for a transfer quarterback, like to your point, who's going to be out there? Well, we don't know yet, but who's going to agree to come in and be like, well, the five-star just got 5 weeks of practice with this group. Can I come in and make up that ground, even if I'm established? You know, so it gets complicated in a hurry. And I think it's just kind of it's gonna kind of be that way at quarterback. I mean, and Rhule has a very strong preference that like he's not gonna be a guy where it's like, well, we just go find our starter in the portal. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like if you could do it. He just prizes development more. I don't know if Heupel's ever talked about it in terms of Tennessee, but like with, you know, the offense they run, which is certainly unique in some regards. Like, I wonder if he has a similar preference where it's like, yeah, we may be young, but I'd rather have these guys for three seasons first, you know, presumably, versus like, let's go find the best guy we can get each year.
I mean, it's definitely prioritizing veterans for sure. I mean, it's hard to crack the rotation in Heupel's system right now. And I think for Tennessee, the more interesting one this year is probably receiver, because Tennessee's never been this deep in the Heupel era, and he plays three guys, and like, if they don't trust you, you're not going to play, and you're in for the whole, because it's tempo. They're not subbing, so you're in for a whole rotation there before, like, when you turn over, punt, touchdown, whatever, they're not coming off the field. So I think this year with five-star Mike Matthews and four-star Brandon Staley, those two guys are, there's a lot of optimism about both of them, but I'm very, very curious if they find a way on the field, because we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen a true freshman just push himself onto the field for it. I just think it's hard to learn, because I think you have to make a lot of decisions on the fly. You have to there's just a lot of thinking involved, and you need to have a mastery of the offense. It's complicated to be a receiver in the Heupel offense. So I would be surprised, but to this point, Heupel's definitely valued, and really Tim Banks on the defensive side as well, have valued playing the older guys, even if there are some talented four and five stars behind them. You just got to know where to be. I mean, Tennessee was starting Will Brooks, who was a walk-on at star last year down the stretch due to injuries, and there were some talented freshmen behind him, but it's like, he knows where to be, you know? Like, it's just one of those things where, look, their talent's one thing, but I think this staff, and I think a lot of college football coaches, are still going to prioritize, like, I need guys I can trust and guys who know where to be. Like, that, it sounds so simple, but that is a big part of making it, being on the field, because like, these games are just, the margins are so thin that you just can't risk it.
Yeah, I think it takes particular importance to me for programs like Nebraska, like Tennessee, you know, won national titles in the 1990s and have been trying to get back to a conference title, much less national titles on the football field since then. Transfer portal changes a lot, but particularly at programs like this, where you're kind of trying to find an edge over, you know, a Georgia that's just going to keep recruiting, or Ohio State and Nebraska's sense, being veteran, being a little bit transfer independent to the degree that you can, I think is the way to go. And from Nebraska's perspective, it's certainly the way Rule's trying to go. We'll see if it pays out.
Well, final thing here, Brandon. Vegas likes Nebraska in the Big Ten this year. Are you surprised that Vegas is like hedging? Like, I think they're 7.5, 8 wins for Nebraska. I mean, that's a big win, right? Like, if you're a Nebraska fan, you're happy if you get to 8-4 this year, right?
Yeah, you definitely are. Not totally surprised by that number. You know, realistically, so Nebraska went 5-7. Call it 6-6 with all the close losses, though that's been the case at Nebraska for a long time now. So I even have some hesitancy saying that, but you look at the schedule, their big non-conference home game is Colorado, which lost Colorado on the road last year. So you don't chalk that one up. They open with UTEP, another team under a new head coach, and then have an FCS game. But they don't draw Washington or Oregon this year in terms of the newcomers, and the schedule overall sets up pretty well. So I've kind of written it a couple of different ways this offseason. Like, this is Nebraska's time to make a move under Matt Rhule if they're going to. They're really, really experienced, not on offense, particularly not a quarterback, but they are on the O-line, which is a key piece of this. And I think even, you know, with Dylan Raiola and all of the attention around him, all he has to do is give Nebraska a higher level of quarterback play than they got last year, which is a pretty low bar if you go back and look at the numbers. And that 7, 8, 9 win range is within reach, I think, assuming the defense, you know, doesn't take a huge step back, which I wouldn't at this point. So
I wouldn't bet against Danny White.
Nebraska has a huge opportunity here. And if you happen to have me on next December or January and Nebraska didn't take that step, it'll be a much different tone, I think, because I look at this as like they've got an opportunity here to make a move.
I love it. Brandon, how do good folks keep up with you and all the good work you're doing over at counterread.com this week?
Yeah, you can visit us at counterread.com. That's a twice weekly newsletter on Substack from myself and my colleague Aaron Sorensen. We kind of cover the gamut, whatever people are talking about in Nebraska circles. For tomorrow, I'm working on some stuff from the Dannon introduction with the new ID, and then later this week we get our first look at Nebraska's spring practice. So we'll have plenty of observations and thoughts from what we see there. So that's what's coming up soon.
There you go. Go subscribe to the best independent Nebraska coverage on the internet today. Go do it. Counterread.com. Subscribe and support the good folks over there like Brandon and Aaron. Go do it today. Brandon, thank you so much for the time. I greatly appreciate it. And we'll have to check back in again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.